We experienced a blackout partway through this message. Please excuse the lower quality of recording. Thank you.
It is Mother's Day, and so this is entitled, What to Give That Special Lady. I don't want to just focus on what to give your moms, because some of us have, like me, have our mothers have passed away. But there might be a special lady in your life, like your wife might be a good special lady in your life. We have spiritual moms, spiritual grandmas as well. Some of us have mothers that are alive, and we want to bless them. And so this is what to give that special lady. Let me just broaden it even more than that. We're going to talk about how to be a gift. All right? This is how to be a gift to everybody else. All right? In essence. But it's a special focus on your mom. And let's go ahead and start with a guy named Solomon, who had a mom named Bathsheba. And in 1 Kings chapter 2, you don't need to flip there. 1 Kings chapter 2, and I think it's verse 19, Solomon's mom comes walking toward the chamber where the king is on his throne. And this verse says, the king, listen now, rose up to meet her and then bowed before her. Would you think about it? This is the king. Everybody bows before this guy. He's used to everybody coming in and bowing before him. When his mom enters, he rises up and he bows before his mom. Now, we're going to look at a couple words from Solomon to start this thing off today. I want you to think about that kind of respect. You might be the king of your castle, but when your mom comes to visit, to think about it, deep respect is due your mom, regardless of how wonderful or how many improvements she needed. There is deep respect due to her, and that is the first horizontal commandment in the Ten Commandments. God gives us the four to deal with him in honor to God. But then the first, before murder, before don't commit murder, before don't commit adultery, before don't steal, lie, is what? Honor your mom and your dad. Your mom's included in that. Honor your parents. And that's what we are called to do regardless of where we find ourselves in life. We honor their memory as we talk about them, and we honor them to their faces. All right, so what gifts can we give mom? You'll notice I didn't leave you any blanks. You can fill them in. But really the blank is the bold, okay? For example, give her Proverbs 1:8 and 9. That'd be a great gift for your mom. Or another great gift would be Proverbs 6:20 and following. So each of these passages contains at least one gift you can give your mom. Matter of fact, you can give the rest of us, quite frankly. They all fit. All right? This is how to be a gift. So this is Solomon writing Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 8. Hear my son, this is Solomon speaking now to his son, your father's instruction, listen now, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Notice both mom and dad are teaching the youngsters. And this is dad saying, do not forsake. I want you to obey. Listen and obey your mother's teaching. The first gift you can give your mom is listening. That's the first gift. Listening. Listen to her. Listening to her. It's underlined to kind of help you out. Indeed, here's the promise that accompanies this. They will be a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. What does that mean? Well, when Joseph was given authority in the kingdom of Egypt, a necklace was given to him, kind of a symbol of his of honoring him and of his authority. When Daniel, in the same way, with Babylon, was given a high degree of authority, a necklace accompanied that. And a wreath typically is the victor's wreath in the Olympics or something like that, some kind of a game, some kind of a contest, some kind of a military thing, whatever. It's the victor's wreath. And so what's he saying here? Listen to your mom, if she's a godly lady, I think the verse right before this said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. If she didn't teach you the fear of the Lord, a deep respect for God, then you want to hold what she says lightly, but she still might have some great wisdom. She's created in the image of God. Here, if you listen to your mom, you will be rewarded with honor and with authority. That's what he's saying. All right? So listen to your mom. It has payoffs later on in life. And the young folks are still left in here. I want you to listen to that. It will pay later in life. It might seem burdensome now. It will pay later. I know it's in vogue to, it's more and more and more in vogue to not listen to your parents. Anybody over 40 is suspect. Anybody over 30. Anybody over 25 is suspect. Right? All right? That's the noise outside. The Bible says, listen to your parents. Next gift, Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20. It's the same thing, just listening. The gift is listening. Proverbs 6, 20, Solomon says it again. My son, observe the commandment of your father. Do not forsake the teaching of your mother. Well, what does that mean? How do I do this? Here's what he says. Next verse, verse 21. Bind them continually on your heart. Tie them around your neck. Want your mom's teaching to be in your heart. I want you to tie it around your neck. Let it guide where you look. Let it guide the thoughts of your heart. Meditate on what your mom teaches you. That's what I want you to do. Next verse. Here's the promise, proverbially. When you walk about, her teaching will guide you. Give you wisdom on the course to take all day long, every day. When you sleep, it will watch over you. When you awake, it will talk to you. I remember being a young man. My mom was a liberal believer. And I don't know how much of a... She had a respect for God. I'm not sure how deep it was. Nonetheless, she was created in the image of God. She did know some degree of Judeo-Christian principle. And boy, I remember those years where I was fighting inside what she had taught me by her example and by her words. And if it wasn't for that, I was heavy into secular rock and roll, just going down the tubes. It was, I don't want to use the words that it leads to, but it, bad stuff, evil, wicked stuff. And it was hard to fight against that by the design of God. And so even in my rebellion, my mom's words spoke to me. It was still there. So moms, don't give up. And later on, culminated in my salvation. Verse 23. The commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. Teaching of God through your mom. For reproofs and discipline are a way of life. Anybody here like reproofs? That's correction, discipline. No, we don't. But when mom does that, or dad, it is the way of life. It will lead to honor. It will lead to authority. And it will lead to blessing God and blessing others. So number one gift, listen. Listening to your mom. What do I give to her? I give the act of listening. Number two, I give the act of wise living. Chapter 10, verse 1, or I give Proverbs 10, 1. A wise son makes a father glad. A foolish son is a grief to his mother. That's a standard parallelism in Hebrew writing, and certainly in Proverbs. The two lines go together in some way, shape, or form. Here, they're pretty well synonymous. If you live in a wise way biblically, you will make your mom and dad glad. If you don't, you will be a grief to them. They are kind to you. It's the way it is. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 20, saying the same thing. A wise son makes a father glad. Quite frankly, there's a parallelism again, makes his mom and dad glad. A foolish, that means morally foolish, doing morally foolish things, despises his mom. So think about that. Doesn't seem that way when you're young. Live morally foolish, you're despising your mom. Proverbs 29, mom needs a little help here with dad, but mom gives you some of this. 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom. It's teaching, but it's also action. It's also correction. A child who gets his own way brings shame to his mom. Dads and moms, let Junior get their way in everything. They win at all the games. They get all the, they just everything. They just whatever they want. They will rip your heart out. They're happy in the short run. It's a grief in the long run. And so good parenting is tough, but part of good parenting is bringing that discipline which children don't like at all ages, and yet if they don't get it, and they get their own way and everything, it's going to be all over. It's just going to be grief for the rest of your life, for the rest of their lives, probably the rest of your life. Moving on to James. Proverbs 31. Flip the page here. Proverbs 31 and verse 1. No, I'm not going to pound the ladies in the book of Proverbs. Relax. Not going to do that. And thank you for what you live up to, but let's just take another little look at Proverbs 31 just for a moment by way of giving a gift to mom. Verse 1 through 5, here's the gift number 3 of minimizing worry. All right? The gift of peace, if you will. Listen now. Verse 1 of Proverbs 31. The words of King Lemuel. Now, it might be we don't know who this guy is, but we know most of the kings, pretty well all of them. I mean, they're just recorded in the book of Kings, Chronicles. And so tradition has it this guy is Solomon. I don't know that it matters, but let's just go with that for right now. So what was his mom teaching him? What was that stuff? And moms, what is that stuff we need to teach? Or dads, what is that stuff we need to teach so that mom will be blessed by her son later on in life? Listen, verse 1. The words of King Lemuel, the oracle which his mom taught him. All right, so this is mom alone teaching him this particular thing. Dad probably entered in at some point. Verse 2. What, O my son, and what, O son of my womb, and what, O son of my vows. Everybody get that? Now, we don't really know the Hebrew idiom that's going on here. We're not totally sure. Maybe there's an Arabic cognate involved here, which wouldn't be terribly uncommon with the Hebrew folks. And it might mean listen, listen, listen. It's a little simple word in the Hebrew language, which typically means what or why or how. And we're not sure what that would do here. So it probably has to do with listen, something that was part of their vernacular that we don't really get today. Point is, she is 3 times drawing attention, putting an emphasis on what she's going to say. That's the point. At least it means that. Verse 3. Do number 1, if you want to minimize your mom's worry, number 1, as dads, we need to teach our young men this. Do not give your strength to women. Parallel to that is the next phrase. Means probably the same thing. Or your ways, your time, to that which destroys kings. What's he talking about here? Later on, she's going to describe in verse 10 what an excellent wife looks like. And so she's going to encourage him, and the dads no doubt as well, to look for an excellent wife. You're going to give kind of a grocery list of things to look for. But right here, just the running around with ladies, first thing she mentions, don't do it. No offense, ladies. They will destroy your life. They will sidetrack you. They will take your strength. You'll get sidetracked onto them, and you won't have the moral dignity and strength to do what you're called to do as a young king. So I want you to stay away from women that are enticing you. Only court, verse 10 following, those types of ladies. All right? I think that's where he's going. We're just going number one. If you don't, you'll bring great grief and worry to your mom. Number two, or I should say B, this is all number three, minimize worry or give her peace. B would be, what? A would be, stay away from ladies. B would be strong drink, or drink at all. It's in the Bible, it's in the Old Testament and the New Testament, drinking of some wine is not condemned. Intoxication is condemned, Old Testament and New Testament, and clearly that's what she's saying. Stay away from intoxication. Stay away from alcohol. Don't be chasing after alcohol. You don't have to have alcohol all the time at your parties or whatever you're doing. You can do without it. Nothing wrong, again, with a little bit of wine according to the Old Testament and New Testament, but stay away from drunkenness for sure, and just always having wine around or whatever else it may be. Verse 4, it is not for kings, O Lemuel, it is not for kings to drink wine, or rulers, parallelism, to desire strong drink, lest they drink and forget what is decreed and pervert the rights of the afflicted. You need to be watching out for the weaker among us, and you need to be alert and able to do that. And so, two things. If you want to keep me worry-free, stay away from chasing women, stay away from the alcohol. Simple enough? Now, things are way different today, right? All right, moving on. Verse 10 of chapter 31. An excellent wife who can fight. So she's turning him on to going after, courting a wife who will end up as an excellent wife. All right? So verse, I'm going to skip a lot of it just due to time. I want to get some other passages. But verse 25, this is the conclusion of what she's sharing. Proverbs 31, verse 25. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. So moms, thank you for having strength. That means moral strength of character is what we're talking about. Dignity, honor, living in an honorable way. And when our young men are pursuing courting a lady, he's got to ask himself, does she have moral character? Is she strong morally? Does she have honor and dignity toward herself and toward God and toward others? She smiles at the future is the next line. She's got the maturity. Never mind the guy inside and behind the curtain or whatever. You take that. You guys are easily distracted. Get it? She's looking at the future, right? That's she's not just living for today. She's thinking about the future. That's a sign of maturity. Verse 26, she opens her mouth in wisdom. Does what she say match the wisdom of the word of God? She's wise when she speaks, which means she probably doesn't speak a lot, but she's wise as she speaks. Next slide. The teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She's kind. She teaches kindness to others. Verse 27, she looks well in the way of her household, and she does not eat the bread of idleness. What's going on here? She's not just living for herself. She's looking at what she's been charged with, the stewardship entrusted to her, her family first and foremost. Verse 28, the next verse. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he blesses her, saying, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful. Young men, listen. Charm is deceitful. Beauty is vain. It's passive. But a woman who fears the Lord, she is to be praised. What do you want to look for, son? As you're courting a lady that fears the Lord, has a deep reverence for God and the things of God. Thus, the other virtues that we spoke about. A lady that's fearing the Lord. Let's flip to James if we could. And that's number five. Let me make sure you got your blanks filled in. Proverbs 31. Give her the gift of Proverbs 31, which is minimized worry or peace. That's the beginning of Proverbs 31. Middle of Proverbs 31, verse 10. Give her an excellent daughter-in-law. I'm blessed with some good daughter-in-laws around me. Boy, am I thankful. And then number five. This is verse 25 and following. Give her the gift of praise, or the gift of honor. Honor her. She is to be praised. And that's a good thing to do today, gentlemen. Moving on to the New Testament. Book of James is a good kind of parallel with this. I kind of got on the theme as I'm going through 1,000 passages to bring into the sermon today. And I wish we had all day. Maybe bring the kids back, drop them off, go home, and come back late tonight, and I'll get this out of my system. But moving on to the New Testament, when it comes to wisdom, James is kind of a good parallel. And so let's go to James chapter 3 and verse 13 and following. Who is wise and understanding? I'm just going to pause there. Anybody here, gentlemen? Anybody here wise and understanding? Well, yes, that would definitely describe me. Right? Come on, let's just be honest. All of us are going to say that. I mean, everybody else is an idiot. On the road, at work, my boss, relatives. But I'm wise and understanding. I've achieved. That's just what's inside of us. That's who we are. We're just wired to be arrogant. And so, we don't listen very well. Nonetheless, he asks here, verse 13, who is wise and understanding? So we pause, we think about that. The word understanding in Greek, the word for wise in Greek is wise. But the word understanding is Greek, it can be knowing or skill or intelligent. Yeah, that would mark me. All right, that's the case. What does your wife think? Let him show by his, and what does God think is the big thing? Let him show by his good behavior, his deeds or his works or what he does and says. Listen now, in the gentleness of wisdom. If I claim to be wise, and I don't have a gentle spirit as I'm following the wisdom of God, some of which we just talked about, so much more, the whole read of Proverbs would be a wonderful read to do today together. Gentleness of wisdom. That word gentleness could be meekness, which is using your power for the welfare of other people. Could be humility as well, another decent translation of the word gentleness. But let's just take it as gentleness or meekness for this point. That's using your power for the welfare of others in our context today, especially for your mom's welfare. Thinking about her welfare. Being gentle. Or your wife. Thinking about her welfare. Being gentle with her. If you claim to be wise, you're gentle with other people. I think that even means other drivers on the road. Because that's what the wisdom of God guides us into. If I show myself to be haughty and above other people, I don't have biblical wisdom. Just gotta be frank. And it freaks my wife out. And it freaks other ladies out. Guys can kind of handle it, we're used to getting, everybody's kind of, guys, we live mad, we're mad at other people, but it freaks ladies out. It freaks your daughters out. And so, who among you is wise and understanding? will be able to tell, your wife will be able to tell, your daughters will be able to tell. And we're setting an example for them, by the way. Our granddaughters, we're setting an example for them and who they're at court. In the gentleness of wisdom, who do you want your granddaughter to marry? You want your daughter to marry a gentle man. That's still a good term. Amen. A gentle man. And so if a person is biblically wise, they're going to be a gentleman. Next verse. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, and those always go together, that's that competition thing. Gotta beat the other driver, gotta beat the guy out of work, gotta beat the next company over, gotta, just competition. We gotta achieve, gotta accomplish. And we live angry, because we never get enough, never achieve enough. And we bring that home. Where there is bitter jealousy, that's just all over, that's on the ball field, that's at work, that's in relationships, all of it is competition, ambition. I gotta be top of the pile. If you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and do not lie against the truth. Arrogance will shield you from understanding your lack of humility and your lying against the truth of God to say that you're wise when you're acting the fool. Everybody good? Is this fun? Well, we need to hear it. I need to hear it. This wisdom that we claim to have is not that which comes down from above, it's not from heaven, but it's what? Earthly or earthy, natural, and let's just cut to the chase, demonic. Satan has a heyday when we are not gentle, especially with our wives, our moms, our ladies. We want to teach the young men to be gentlemen. It would honestly be good to teach our young men to open the doors for the girls. That'd be a good thing to do. Raise your kids to be gentlemen. We need to think about this kind of thing. Okay, at all ages. Okay. Otherwise, it's natural. It's demonic. Where there is jealousy and selfish ambition, that's what he brought up in verse 14. There is going to be disorder and every evil thing. If your house is disorderly, morally, relationally, and there's evil going on, probably you can trace it right back to this root. A lack of biblical wisdom that produces gentleness. There's no reason for yelling in a house. I mean, if the roof is going to cave in, maybe. But there's no reason for yelling at a house. There's definitely no reason for yelling at a spouse, especially a wife, a mom, anybody. Verse 17. The wisdom from above is, what does this look like? How can I identify if this is God's wisdom inside of me, working inside of me right now? The voice of my mother, as we talked about, working inside of me right now. The wisdom from above is, first of all, pure. It's not mixed. If you have water, you got one glass that doesn't have any impurities, you've got the other glass that's got impurities floating around in it, which one are you going to drink? Well, it doesn't have any impurities. Okay? So it's not mixed. It's not mixed with what? The earthly, natural, and demonic. Okay? It's just pure focus on God and His wisdom. It's first of all pure. Don't mix it with a little bit of God's wisdom, a little bit of earthly thought. Okay? It's just purely God's wisdom. And we get in so much trouble. We take God's wisdom and we've got to put our own ideas into it. Bad idea. It's pure. Second of all, peaceable. It produces peace. If possible, as far as it depends on you, be at peace with everybody. Romans chapter 12. It is gentle, or kind is another possible translation of that word. It is reasonable. What does that mean? It listens to others' ideas as that kind of humility. It's full of mercy and good fruit. Shows mercy to others. Doesn't always just dominate them and they got what's coming to them. I have license to yell right now. And good result, fruit is result. Good results come from mercy in a home, in a marriage, in parenting. Unwavering. Another way you can look at that word is impartial, but it's also consistent. It's not going to change depending on who's walking in and who's where, whatever. It's just consistently gentle, without hypocrisy. It's not a show, because that'll be found out in a marriage and in a family real fast, right? It's truly from a relationship with God, fearing the Lord. The seed whose fruit is righteousness, in other words, the outcome of this word or this act is right, is sown in peace. The motive of the heart is peace by those who make for peace. And that needs to be our hearts. Next verse, verse 1. Don't even notice a chapter marker here. By the way, the gift of James 3, verse 13 and following, that gift is marked gentleness. That's the gift. Gentleness. You're living wise because of what we look at in Proverbs. And now what does wisdom produce? It produces gentleness or meekness. Again, meekness, God is meek. Jesus is the meekest man to ever live. What does that mean? What in the world? He's the exact opposite. Meekness is using our power for the welfare of others, especially those who are weaker. And so show me a meek man. That's a man that's powerful, maybe economically, mentally, physically, but he's using that power for the welfare and the blessing of others. That's meekness. That's a wonderful, incredible virtue. The stronger you are, the more meek you need to be. Using your power for the, God's blessed you with power, use it for the welfare of others. If you can beat your wife in an argument, use your mental ability to bless her, not beat her. Verse 18 again. Well, let's just start with verse 18. The seed whose fruit is right, whose result, the after word whose result is righteous, it's going to be sown in peace. This is the way it's going to come out. If it's not sown in peace, it's not going to end up righteous. By those who make peace and pursue peace. Next verse. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? So why do we fight? Oh, our fights are complicated. After a while, we don't even know why we started fighting, but we still need to fight. Forgot why we started it, but we're still fighting. It's complicated. I think God makes it different. I don't think it's that complicated. Verse 1. What is the source of quarrels and conflicts among you? Why do you quarrel with your wife? It's Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Every day is Mother's Day. Is not the source, just being honest, your pleasures that wage war in your members. Your pleasures, that's hedonism we get from the Greek word. Hedonism, your desire for personal pleasure. I want to go home, I want pleasure. My wife doesn't deliver, not going to go on. Right? So we focus on our own pleasures that wage war in our members. Goes on to say, you lust and do not have, so you commit murder. Now, murder in Scripture, it could be literal murder, or it could be, probably in this context, this is talking to the church, I'm just applying it to Mother's Day and to the family a lot. This is the context of this is plainly the church, but just all Christian relationships. Matthew 5:21, anyone who is angry with his brother is guilty before the court, or is guilty of murder in a heart, Jesus says. Or 1 John 3 and verse 15, he who does not love his brother is a murderer. All right, so this is murder in the heart probably spoken about here. You lust and do not have, this is in verse 2, so you commit murder. You are envious and cannot attain, so you fight and quarrel. Again, it's kind of a Jewish parallelism. The first phrase goes with the second one. You lust, you don't have, so you're angry. So you've got murder going on in the heart. Not going to kill her, but I wish I could. You are envious, lust, envious, same thing. And you can't, I mean, roughly speaking, for now. And you can't obtain, you don't have, can't obtain, so you fight and quarrel about it. You do not have because you don't ask. That would be asking God. You ask and you don't receive because you ask with wrong motives that you might spend it on your pleasures. So God doesn't bless us with everything we want. We think we need the best boat that we need. Because we got a big boat, we got a little boat. We don't have that mid-sized boat. We need that thing. We gotta have it. God just, my wife wants my socks. I mean, what in the world, what is going on here? Okay, you know, right? So we want and we focus and we fight each other and what's going on? And the number one reason given in America still to this day is, why do couples fight? Why do they quarrel? Why are they out of sorts to this day? They say it's money. It's not money. We already read what it is. It's our pleasures over against our sacrificial love for our wives. You don't know this is right. Now, this is a heavy word. The next word, this is Mother's Day, and I want to help fix the problem so that every day is Mother's Day. Notice the next verse, verse 4. You adulteresses. That's that Romans 1 thing. God has given to us so many blessings, and the beginning of life is honoring God as God and giving Him thanks. But instead, what we trend toward in our fallen nature is worshiping and serving the created things rather than the Creator. And then it's off to every immoral thing. Read Romans chapter 1, verse 18 and following. And so it's saying the same thing here. It's adultery. You adulteresses, he's talking to the church, talking to you and me. Don't you know that friendship with the world is hostility toward God? What's he say? When I'm going to fix my mind on my pleasures and my stuff in the world, I'm acting as an adulteress. That's how God sees it. We see it as normal life in America. God sees it as adultery. Again, you got the passage. Read through it. Pray through it. Don't just throw this aside when you leave here. Pray through this. Okay? This is why it's not Mother's Day every day in your house and in my house. This is why. We didn't listen to our moms way back when. We go on, we take up the ways of the world. We think it's normal. And in American Christianity, I guess it is, right? It's all about God blessing you. The stuff. Everything you want. And the Bible's setting a trend with us right now to go, no, this is normal Christianity. We want to bless our spouse. We live sacrificially. And so we need to repent of adultery. How to make it Mother's Day every day? We need to repent of adultery. That's what we need to do. Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Friend of the world means affections for the things of the world. Not necessarily sinful things. Just stuff. He goes on to say, verse 5, do you think that the scripture speaks to no purpose? He jealously desires the spirit which he's made to dwell in us. It's a very difficult verse to translate in Greek. I think the idea is God is jealous for us. That's throughout scripture. God wants our hearts, our affections. When we set it on what he's made rather than him, it is adultery to him. I think that's the idea. Verse 6. But here, and this is great news. This is incredible news. He gives greater grace. God has more grace than all of our sin. God's grace is way greater than our adultery. He gives greater grace. Therefore, he says, so we don't throw up our hands in despair. God has grace for that, whatever it is, including adultery. Therefore, he says, God is opposed to the proud. That's that thing of wisdom again. But he gives grace to the humble. So how do I humble myself? How do I get this right? How do I fix my home from this adultery leading to this abusive language in the home? Verse 7, submit to God. Number one, just go, God's right. God, give me your word. I'm saying yes already before I even know what you're going to say. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. Satan is just hanging you on to continue to get your way. Stand up for yourself. Draw near to God, he'll draw near to you. What an incredible, gracious promise that is. God wants to be near us, adulterers, as we repent and come back to him. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded, which you can do with your hands and with your hearts. Repent, turn from that. And now before I read verse 9, let me ask you this. If I were to fall into adultery, physical adultery against my wife, and then I came to my senses, what should my emotional state be having come to my senses? Yeah, absolutely broken. And so that's the reason for the next line. Be miserable and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. What's he saying? If you're caught in adultery, be absolutely broken. This is the way to a great Mother's Day every day. A brokenness over sin, and specifically the sin here is pursuing the stuff in the world, my own pleasures, and therefore fighting and quarreling with my wife because I don't have enough. The root of that is adultery. And so there's a brokenness over that. There's a turning. And in this way, verse 10, humble yourselves in the presence of the Lord, and he will exalt you. Now, look at the lines of grace in here. Verse 6, God gives greater grace than all of my sin. There's grace to cover my sin. God gives grace to the humble. God wants me to draw near to him. God wants me to, in every way, he wants to exalt me. He wants to exalt you, give you an exalted life. Rewarded life. And we talked about that way back in Proverbs. I'm going to give you the rest for homework because those are the tougher passages. The rest, I'm just going to mention one thing. I've got to give you the advice, right? Let me give you advice. So you got something I can give you a little bug in that, but I'm giving the advice. Number 6, James chapter 3, verse 13 is gentleness. Number 7, James 4, 1, that's the gift, James 4, 1 and following, is humility. Kind of, it really go together. It's kind of the same thing, but I'm just going to make them two different things. James chapter 4, and specifically verse 10, but James chapter 4, 1 and following, is humility. It's just a heart before God that exalts him. So that's number 7. And then number 8 is going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 and following. Is going to be the one you've been waiting for. That's love. But this describes what biblical love is. And that's really important to know. It's sometimes way, sometimes it's the exact opposite of what we think love is. So this describes biblical love. For example, love is patient. If I'm impatient with my wife, what does that mean? Oh, babe, I love you so much. Come on, let's go. Right? Love is patient. So by my patience is a real gauge to really look at how much I truly love, which is truly value my life. And you can go through that whole list in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4 and following. Number 9 is honor. That's 1 Peter chapter 3 and following. Live with your wives in an understanding way. Try to understand her. There you go. Like this gentleman, this is a man for you. Try to understand her. When you got that figured out, give me a call. Live with your wives in an understanding way as with her weaker wrestling. Grant her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. God say, I'm not even talking to you if you're not honoring your wife. So honor would be number 9. And then number 10 is a passage we looked at a while back. I just want to include it in here so you go over it again. I knew we were not going to make it to it. Number 10 is give her the gift of heaven on earth. You say, well, what does that look like? That's Colossians chapter 3. Remember that? Keep seeking the things above. Set your mind on things above, not things of this earth. All right? And so that whole chapter is about how to bring heaven to your bedroom, to your home. And that's number 10. And then I just gave you a closing passage, a conclusion, which is Philippians chapter 2, verse 1 and following, which is another great gift, by the way. And that is, just encompassing this entire thing, this is a Christ-like attitude. Have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ, who, although he existed in the very form, God did not consider equality with God a thing to be held on to, but he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. If I'm going to be like Christ, I take the form and the position of a servant. Amen? And that moves us into the gospel. Friend, if you haven't trusted Christ, this one, this God who created you, God in humanness, taking the form, he could have put anything on the planet he wanted to be. He, first of all, I should have stayed in heaven. Took on the form of a servant. And that passage goes on to say, and he humbled himself all the way to the place of death, even death on the cross. Why he got a cross? To pay the penalty of your sin and my sin. Stuff you don't even know you've done, let alone the things you know you've done that don't match God's laws. Not doing what you should be doing, doing stuff you shouldn't be doing, saying and thinking. All of that 2,000 years ago, he took on his body on the cross. And he offers you the gift of eternal life. You can't earn it. You can't deserve it. It's a gift that he offers to you. Let's receive that gift right now. Lord Jesus, thank you for this grace to be able to come before you today. With your word, we thank you for our moms, those who have passed on, those who are still here, those moms to be, should you tarry. Thank you, Father, for our spiritual moms. Thank you for the privilege to be a gift, in essence, to everybody, but certainly to our special ladies. And we pray, Lord Jesus, that you would be honored in our honor toward them. Lord Jesus, right now, I come before you, and if you've never trusted Christ, I'm pleading with you to speak these words. Lord Jesus, thank you for coming to this planet, living a perfect life, treating your bride, the church, perfectly, and going to a cross in her place, taking her sin, my sin, on your body on the cross, being punished, bearing the wrath of God in my place, dying in my place, rising again 3 days later, ascending into heaven, alive and present, and offering me the gift of eternal life. Lord Jesus, I trust you for the gift of eternal life. No turning back. I'm yours. Rid my life of anything that doesn't line up with your word. Guide me into a path following you in every detail. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll do what you want me to do. I'm yours. I trust you as my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. This area is open if you want prayer regarding anything. If you're not sure about your relationship with the Lord, please come down. Let's solidify that. Any other thing you need, a good hug, whatever, come on down. Ladies, thank you for being you. Happy Mother's Day. God bless each one of you. God make you a blessing.